what a great introduction to our theme that we'll be exploring here for a number of weeks. We're focusing on this idea of the outsider, and particularly today, we're going to look at this idea of worthiness. So turn, if you would, in your Bibles, if you want, I should say, to Luke 7. We'll be reading there the first story in verse 1 through 10. Let us listen now for the word of the Lord. After Jesus finished presenting all of these words among the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion had a servant who was very important to him, but the servant was ill and about to die. When the centurion heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to Jesus to ask him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they earnestly pleaded with him, saying, "He deserves to have you do this for him," they said. "He loves our people, and he built our synagogue for us." Jesus went with them. He had almost reached the house when the centurion sent friends to say to Jesus, "Lord, don't be bothered. I don't deserve to have you come under my roof. In fact, I don't even consider myself worthy to come to you. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." "I am also a man appointed under authority," he continued, "with soldiers under me. I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes. I say to my servant, 'Do this,' and the servant does it." When Jesus heard these words, he was impressed with the centurion. He turned to the crowd following him and said, "I tell you, even in Israel, I haven't found faith like this." When the centurion's friends returned to his house, they found the servant restored to health. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Holy God, we give thanks for another day and for another chance to gather in worship together and in fellowship with other believers. And we give thanks for this opportunity to once again open the sacred scriptures and texts and ponder what word it is you have for us today. So may our ears and our eyes and our hearts and our minds be opened for what you have to say to us, so that we might turn and be healed. Amen. There's this wonderful moment in the text where it says that Jesus was impressed, or even amazed, it says, with the faith of this centurion. And this is an interesting phrase, actually. It shows up quite frequently in the Gospels, but rarely for Jesus. It usually talks about the people who are around Jesus, and they see something he does, and they say, and they are amazed, or they hear the words that he's speaking, and they are amazed. But sometimes it's also used in the negative sense. In a couple chapters in Luke 11, Jesus will be invited over to a Pharisee's house for dinner, and Jesus goes and he sits down without washing his hands before he eats. And so just like, you know, myself with my kids at my own table, the Pharisee looked at him and was amazed, or probably translated differently, shocked. But it's used twice, referring to Jesus. Here, when he's referring to the centurion and he's amazed at the faith, and in one other place, actually in a different gospel, when Jesus is in his hometown of Nazareth, and he is unable to do any miracles there, and it says he is amazed at their unbelief. Interesting, isn't it? Now, I don't know about you, but I kind of wonder what Jesus' face would look like if he were amazed. You know, one of my critiques of those paintings of Jesus that we have, those, you know, a lot of those famous ones, they're great and they're wonderful and they're beautiful. But doesn't it seem like Jesus always has the same expression on his face? Like, here's sad Jesus. And here's happy Jesus. And here's angry Jesus. You starting to get the point? So what does shocked Jesus actually look like? I don't know. Are there some kids maybe out there in the congregation? Maybe the kids could help us. Could you look at some? If you have a kid or your grandparents are near you, can you give us a shocked face so people can see what that's supposed to look like? I'd ask the adults for help, but let's be honest, they're pretty boring, and I think they've forgotten how to be amazed a long time ago. Am I right? Yeah, there we go. I guess somebody with amazement. All right, so we hear in the text that Jesus is amazed at the faith of this centurion. So why is that? Well, let's think back about the story and what we learned from him. Well, first, when it opens up, we learn that he has this servant that he highly values. Now, this phrase, actually, probably more often in Greek, is used in a military context, and it speaks about a soldier who had served well. And so you have this centurion who has a servant, maybe that has served him well. And he's sick, and he's dying, and he's moved with compassion for somebody that really in status is below him. And so now he goes out of his way to seek out any sort of medical care or healing that would be available for him, just like we would, right? For a loved one or kid or member of our family, whatever we can do to make him well, we'll give it a shot. So you could really have this centurion that is moved by people around him and servants included. And then we learn that he sends the Jewish leaders of the town to go meet Jesus because he has made sort of an acquaintance with them, because he built their synagogue, as it says. Now, contrary to a lot of our belief, we usually hear about the centurions and the Romans, about people who sort of oppress the people, and a lot of that is true. But we also have documents that speak that the soldiers often were even encouraged to try to live at peace with their societies. And so it's not uncommon necessarily for some of the Roman soldiers or centurions to pick up some of the local religious beliefs and faith practices while they're there. I mean, after all, they had worshipped many gods. But what is astounding is that he goes even beyond that, out of his way to help this community in which he's living, trying to make this community a better place by providing a gathering space, a meeting place, a house of worship for the Jewish people to go and to gather. So we learn that he has compassion for servants. He even desires to make the community in which he lives a better place. And the Jews, actually, then they go to meet Jesus and they tell him he deserves to have you do this for him. And so Jesus goes with him. But then when he's almost at the house, and you almost kind of wonder if the centurion knew what Jesus was, or what the Jews were gonna say to Jesus, he sends out some of his own friends to speak to Jesus, and he says, not I deserve it, right? He said, I don't deserve to even have you come into my own house. I didn't even find myself worthy to come to you. But just say the word, and my servant will be healed. There's an interesting thing about worthiness, isn't there? We all have ideas about who is worthy and who's not worthy. And maybe when we're worthy of receiving applause, right, for a sermon, or no, or worthy to get a raise, or worthy to, I don't know, receive love. It's interesting how we carry these notions, isn't it? Maybe you can look at a fun example about like the lottery. You've seen those winners on TV that get interviewed after they win the lottery, and you can imagine maybe in your mind if there's some CEO sitting up there with who's already got millions of dollars in the bank talking about how, you know, he won the lottery, and you're thinking, oh, come on, why did this guy even buy a ticket, right? He doesn't deserve it, maybe. Or maybe if there was a teacher being interviewed, somebody who's been paying out of their own paycheck so the students could have notebooks, and they win the lottery, and you say, ah, they deserved it. I don't know if you remember, a number of years ago, when the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire was really popular, and I felt like everybody tuned in, like every night in America, to see who that first person was going to be to win $1 million. And do you remember when it happened and who it was? It was this IRS agent. And you'd read the headlines, right? People lost their minds, like, oh, why this guy? Now, obviously, he works for the government, and I mean, he probably is deserving as other people too, but that's kind of the point, right? We kind of carry in our side these notions about who is deserving and who is not deserving. And I don't know about you, but when I look at this story about the centurion, the moment that really startles me and the one that I think maybe amazed Jesus was when the centurion sends his friends out and he says, I am not worthy. And yet asks for his servant to be healed anyway. It's like he lives with this different sort of set of eyes or this different worldview where everybody deserves the blessings of God. Servants deserve the best healthcare available. People deserve a place to meet and worship. And we all deserve the love and blessing of our Father. It's almost like he holds in his mind that either nobody's worthy and we just receive the blessings anyway, or everybody is and we receive them just the same. So may we be stunned or even amazed to have our eyes opened to seeing not just some as worthy, but all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.